You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Those people who saw what happened were absolutely amazed. And those who heard what happened, they could not believe their ears. The Bible explains it this way. A Roman military officer had a servant. This servant was very, very sick. In fact, he was at the point of death. However, the sick man's master also knew that Jesus was in the vicinity. And this officer knew that Jesus had the divine power to heal the sick, to cause the lame to walk, the blind to see, and even to raise the dead. And so this anxious officer, concerned that his own servant might die at any moment, sent some of his friends to ask Jesus to come and to save the dying man. Jesus, of course, responded to this call for help. But when the Savior came near the house where he was to heal the sick man, messengers met him. They adamantly insisted that Jesus go no further. They said that the Roman military officer who had invited Jesus to come did not want Jesus to come into his house because this officer felt he was unworthy to receive such a great man as our Lord and Savior. "Don't come into my house," the military man said. "Just speak the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed." Then the Bible describes the most astonishing event of all. Friends of this Roman military officer, when they returned to his house, found the sick and dying man miraculously healed and in excellent health. Now the point is this. Jesus had never stepped foot into the room of the sick and dying man. The Bible tells us that our Lord simply willed. Yes, he simply commanded from a distance, and the dying man was restored to life and perfect health. This powerful portrayal of our Master's mercy is the focus of our program today, and the rehearsal of this historic event is what you and I need when our hearts are weak, when our spirits are weary, and when we wonder, "Can God really help me?" And so we pray today that the simple faith of this Roman military officer might be an example for every one of us as we daily confront difficulties, and yes, even as we deal with death. And so if your spirits at this hour are down, concentrate your concerns not on your own abilities to improve your situation, but rather, even though Jesus may not be visibly present, simply pray with a faith like that of the Roman soldier, that God's Spirit might still bring hope to your heart and strength to your soul. Your prayer will be answered. You may not see Jesus. The Savior may not be visible in your presence, but his divine power and his Spirit will help you. Oh, let this example of the faith-filled centurion be a word of encouragement for all of us as we struggle with our family problems or as we wrestle with deep personal worries and concerns. By the power of the Holy Spirit, let us always cling to the cross of Calvary, the symbol of the all-powerful Christ, who not only cured the Roman officer's servant, but also defeated sin and the devil and even death itself. Yes, Jesus the crucified Christ, through his Easter victory, has publicly and absolutely proclaimed victory and power over everything negative, even death. And so then, my friend, as you make your faith-filled, humble pleas known unto the loving Savior, do it with the concrete confidence of the believing centurion. Then Jesus will say unto you, "As you have believed, so shall it be unto you." Jesus helped the sick and the dying servant without appearing in his presence, and this crucified and resurrected Christ shall surely help you also today without manifesting himself to you visibly. Oh, it is indeed shocking to observe today how many thousands of people have been led away from the simple faith of the centurion and from God and from the rescuing Christ. These demonic distractions sometimes come via the soul-destroying academic antics of atheistic professors in some universities. For example, during the 1960s and the 1970s, a guru by the name of Louis Althusser had captured the minds and the hearts of hundreds of thousands of students in Europe, especially in France. American and Canadian students also followed him as their God of the intellect. This guru eventually became the director of one of the most prestigious schools of learning in France. He directed the doctoral programs of many students who eventually were appointed to prestigious teaching posts in major universities around the world. But just as all worldly fads fade, so also did the prestige of this atheistic guru tarnish and even self-destruct. So dismal was the end of this academic cult leader's life that in a fit of rage, this professor strangled his wife to death. He spent his last year in asylums, and then even most of his serious students, who previously hung on his every word and even worshipped him, even they, when they were interviewed only one day after his death, they said that they had no intention whatsoever of reading even one more page of his works. And so then some today fix their faith in philosophy, but they will surely be disappointed and even disgraced. Others cast their lots with the likes of Lenin and other murdering Marxists. They too will see their dreams dashed, just as the communist-inspired Berlin Wall fell. Still others are convinced that the answer to life lies within them. And how often don't we see entrepreneurs and charlatans and even religious leaders promoting the ego-centered philosophy of the power of positive thinking? Most certainly, positive thinking may be okay when life itself is moving forward. But when the harried human soul is brought face to face with the stark reality of death and dying, no amount of positive thinking is going to rescue the anxious heart from the turbulent sea of agonizing uncertainty. It is then that you and I need to recall the moving scene in the Gospel of John where the blessed Savior Jesus approached the tomb of the dead man named Lazarus. With weeping women and men in tears surrounding him, the blessed Savior moved with divine authority to the cave where Lazarus was buried. A stone covered the opening of that grave, and Jesus said, "Remove the stone." But Martha, the sister of the deceased, objected. "If we remove the stone," she said, "it is going to stink, because Lazarus has already been dead for 4 days." Jesus then said to Martha, "Did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the very glory of God?" And so then they removed the stone from the entrance of the grave, and then Jesus raised his eyes and spoke to the heavenly Father. Then, in a loud voice, Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth!" The Bible then explains that Lazarus came forth bound hand and foot with wrappings. Finally, the Holy Scriptures record that many of the Jews who had been present to see the event, even they believed in Jesus. So then, my friend, instead of instilling uncertainty in your heart, and instead of feeding the fire of anxiety in your soul by sitting hours without end before television sitcoms, which often end without any hope whatsoever, or instead of reading one of the thousands of empty and despair-filled paperback novels, do yourself a new turn. Do something better. Yes, something very much better. Something more hope-filled. Sit down with the sacred scriptures and let your heart be uplifted and your soul be strengthened as you read in the historic gospels, page after page, how the long-promised Messiah, Jesus the Christ, opened his arms of compassion to the discouraged and those who are down. Oh, read with your own eyes how Jesus' heart went out, especially to the discouraged, those burdened with guilt, and those who were ready to give up in life. And as you read the scriptures, meditate on the love that God has for you. The Apostle John put it like this: In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and that he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Oh yes, Jesus suffered and died on the cross for your sake. For your sins of last night and last week, Jesus bled and died. For your family failures, Jesus endured the cross. Isaiah the prophet states that Jesus was pierced through for your transgressions. Jesus was crushed for your iniquities. The chastening for your well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging you are healed from sin and from failure. Oh, Jesus was oppressed, he was afflicted, and yet Jesus did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so Jesus did not open his mouth. Isaiah then says, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us has turned unto his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall upon him, upon Jesus. Oh yes, my friend, every day we need to pray to God. We need with a repentant heart to pour out our deepest emotions and to say, oh Lord, I see my sin, my own terrible sin. By the power of thy Spirit, help me also to see the sin-cleansing blood of thy Son, my Savior. And then we need to say to our loving Heavenly Father, in thy Son Jesus, yes, in thy Son Jesus, and only in Jesus, I put all my hope. This, my friend, must be our prayer. Yes, this must be your prayer. If you want to live a life with peace, to die a death with dignity, and to enter an eternal hope that is solid and sure. Some months ago, in a revealing pictogram buttressed by statistics, USA Today explained the worries and the concerns of many retired people today. 11% of the retired regretted that they had not married somebody else. 18% regretted that they had not lived somewhere else during their lifetime. 31% said they wished they had chosen a different career, and 47% said they regretted that they had not traveled more. The greatest regret, however, held by 51% of these retired people was that they had not saved more money. These are their regrets, but if we could look at the very heart of God, we would surely see that one of his greatest regrets regarding middle-aged and retired people today is that they worry instead of trust. The simple faith of the Roman centurion described in our text for today is frequently replaced by anxiety, worry, and even despair among many senior citizens. If you are one of those senior citizens aged 65 years or older, and if your heart has been heavy with the fears of the future, let the Spirit of the Lord, yes, let the Spirit of the Almighty God, like a healing power, plant and nourish a solid faith in your weak and trembling soul. And so, maybe you are today lying in your hospital bed. Your hair is a mess, and your room is not tidy. Or maybe you are sitting in your prison cell. You are embarrassed by having been arrested and imprisoned. Or maybe you are in your own home with family disagreements and marriage difficulties waiting to burst out at any moment. But, my friend, don't let these worldly concerns consume you. Surely you might well be embarrassed if Jesus were to suddenly appear before you at this moment. The Roman centurion described in the Bible felt the very same way. He felt unworthy to have the blessed Savior come into his home. And so, this is also why this great story of the Bible is recorded for us. Because God wants you to know that no matter what your situation might be, no matter how embarrassed, how guilty, or how unworthy you may feel at this moment, your Heavenly Father still loves you. And just as a father or a mother loves a wayward child, so also God cares about you. And God is concerned about you, and he stands ready to help you. And so at this moment, go to your Lord and say a prayer. Focus your thoughts not on whether or not you are worthy, but rather place your complete confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, who even now is saying to you, anybody Yes, anyone who comes to me, I will never, ever turn away. My friend, today is your day of hope. Today is your day of help. Call upon the Lord of grace while there is still time and while He still may be found. Call upon the Lord, yes, call upon the Lord, and you will be helped, both in this life and also for life everlasting. Amen.